Our Apostle Paul has brought Christ right in front of our faces. There is no more mystery surrounding God. Anyone who wants to say God's just a mystery, we just can't understand it, they're trying to avoid the harsh reality that they don't understand it. But they are without excuse, because Paul brings Christ here, because Christ himself has unveiled himself to Paul. Paul is the last word on Christ. God is no longer hiding behind veils in the temple in Israel, no longer hiding behind parables, veiled language. He's here. The revelation is in front of us if God gives you the faith to see it. But you can't say that the words weren't there, because they're here. But I find that many people want to constantly be on a search for truth. It's so exciting and romantic to be searching for answers. And the only thing that could screw up this wonder world for these people is to actually find answers. They don't want to find answers, because answers invite you to become settled, to become rooted, to become grounded. Oh, but that's not very romantic. It's not very sexy. It's not an adventure. We all want to be an adventure. Go, 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 seek. But no, it's already here. People tell me, Martin, have you read the book of Thomas or the book of Judas? All these secret books that are out there. And I say, what? The books we have in the scripture, that's not enough for you? You've got all that figured out? You're bored? You want something else? No. Well, of course they don't have it figured out. They don't want to be settled. They want to always be on this search. They want to always be looking, because it's fun. It's like if you get on a dating site. It's fun to date. Many women accuse many men of this. They just want to continuously date. They want to just take you out to dinner and have fun. But they never want to get down and give you that ring, right? They never want to get married. They never want to dedicate themselves to you, because they love the pursuit more than the attainment of the pursuit. And they want to pursue. Same thing with kids going to college. People become career college taker, class taker people, things. They just want to continuously be learning. But as soon as you get that damn degree, then you got to get a damn job. Maybe I need another few courses, another few more years in the educational system where I can avoid the grim reality of reality. Well, in the case of God and Paul, it's not a grim reality, it's a beautiful reality. Christ in your face. I call this the immediacy of faith. Now, there's a passage in Romans that I had always kind of struggled with. I never understood it. Then I studied it, and now I understand it, and now I'm bringing it to you. It's Romans 10, verses 6 through 8. Yet the righteousness of faith is saying thus, you may not be saying in your heart, who will be ascending in the heaven, that is, to be leading Christ down, or who will be descending into the submerged chaos, that is, to be leading Christ up from among the dead. But what is it saying? Near you is the declaration, in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the declaration of faith which we are heralding. I got to turn my car on, because otherwise my phone is going to burn up. It probably will anyway. It stops working. The sun won't be shining all morning, and then as soon as I come out to my car, it beams right down here on my phone, where I must perch it in my car in order to bring you this show. Okay, Paul, as I said, has brought Christ near to all of us, and because of his in-your-face testimony, we see Jesus Christ more truly than any other generation ever has. No prophet from the Old Testament days has apprehended more clearly the purposes of God than we have. Not even Jesus' disciples, when they were talking with Jesus on the earth, has apprehended Christ more fully than we have. We are in an enviable position. Yes, true, the disciples had the parables explained to them by Jesus Christ, but still, Christ, as I told you earlier this week, was restraining himself every minute he was on earth to fit the template of Israel, to be that servant of the circumcision that Paul says he was in Romans 15:8. So in this section of Romans, Paul is borrowing from Moses. He's actually quoting Moses. So reading what Moses wrote will help us understand what at first blush appears to be another strange passage. It's like, what does this mean? Who will be sending into the submerged chaos? Who will be ascending into the heaven? All right, as I said, I struggled with this until I figured it out and I realized it was from Deuteronomy. So I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 14. And I'm going to use Moses' words to explain what Paul is saying to help you understand that Christ is right here, the search is over, it's God is not a mystery anymore, and that it behooves us to become settled and to have answers. But it's so not in vogue to have answers. It's so politically incorrect to say, yes, I know the answer to that. People are shocked, and you give the answer. And you're so firm about it, you're so sure about it, and people say, it sounds like you're awful confident. Yes, I am. How can you be so confident about God? God's a mystery. No, he's not. I have the answers. Here they are. And if you don't have the same answers I have, then you're wrong. Oh, that's really politically incorrect to call somebody else wrong. I do it all the time. I enjoy doing it. People are wrong. And I'm right. I'm not right because I'm a genius. I'm right because I realize this amazing truth that Paul has completed the Word of God, Colossians 1:25, and he's given us the last revelation that we need to understand the deity. Yes, we'll be perfected when we're made immortal, but for now, this will do quite nicely. All right, here's Deuteronomy 30, 11, 14. Oh, I got to tell you too, this concerns the law, but it's an analogy. I'm not bringing us back to law. I'm just saying that if this is true of the law, it's really true of Paul's gospel. Here we go. Deuteronomy 30, 11, 14. For this instruction, this is Moses speaking to Israel. For this instruction, what I am enjoining on you today, it is neither too difficult for you, nor is it too far off. It is neither in the heavens for you to say, who shall ascend to the heavens for us and take it for us and announce it to us that we may do it? Nor is it across the sea for you to say, who shall cross the sea for us and take it for us and announce it to us that we may do it? For the word is exceedingly near you, in your mouth and in your heart to do it. End quote. You see, Israel was always trying to put off doing it. They liked to think of the law as this far-off thing. Because if it was near to them, as Moses is saying it is, Moses is saying it's exceedingly near to you, in your mouth, in your heart, to do it. If that's truly the case, then they have to do it. But what do they like to say? They like to say, who shall ascend to the heavens for us and take it for us and announce to us that we may do it? Because we do want to do it. No, you don't. We do want to do it, but it's so far away. It's so mysterious. So it's easier to seek for it constantly than to adapt it and make it a part of your life and be settled in it. Here's my paraphrase of Moses. This is what Moses is saying to Israel.
Quit trying to make this hard, Israel. You don't have to chase this thing, either up, down, or sideways. Although, I know you want to. Oh yes, I know you and I know you well. You'd rather chase it than attain it. Oh, it's the high adventure of pursuit for you, as long as you never catch the thing. As long as you can dream about the law, talk about it, hold somber meetings concerning it, then it can never hang you over its hook. You say that you want to obey God's dictates, but that's only because the dictates to you are still a far off, a theoretical wonderland at the end of a noble quest. Look, I can spot a stall tactic from 100 cubits away. We shall cross the sea. Oh, how precious. How poetic. No, how sick. Quit looking at the sky. Quit looking across the sea. Journey is now, and the task is at hand.
There you go. That's what Moses was saying to Israel, and Paul is saying the same thing. Paul wants to tell the believers in Rome that the righteousness of faith is here and now. This is not something to be done. This is not something to be worked on like Moses was challenging Israel. This is something to be believed. It's here and now. It's in your heart. It's at your mouth to proclaim and thank Christ. When it comes to God, this kind of divine immediacy cuts against the grain. Many of us don't like to hear it. Not many of us, but some of us. Because in our experience, God is always just around the corner, right? You're going to find him any minute now. He's just around the corner. If not, somewhere over the rainbow. And human beings are idealists. And as that, they want to wait until all the ducks are lined up. They want to wait till God actually shows up. They just want everything in place before they actually start on this thing because they think it's hard. Even with Paul's evangel, they think it's unattainable. They think it's hard. They think Paul is still putting forth Moses to us, but he's not. And so they people put off Paul. They actually put off believing anything, embracing anything, confessing anything, trying anything. And in this case, I'm talking about trying unadulterated faith without any works at all. But Paul won't have it. And this is what Paul really is saying to the Romans. He's saying,
there's no more need to either seek or wait. It's not as though I'm asking you to do anything. Perhaps that's what you're used to. But no one is requesting a performance here, or a ceremony, or an act. So don't look up as though someone is requiring you to rise up and find Christ, and then bring him down from heaven. And don't look down either, as though Christ were still in the grave, needing awakened and pulled up to earth. He's already come down. He's already been raised up. God did it all, my dear Romans. All that's left for you to do, therefore, is believe that this thing is true.
And so, my friends, do not let religion trick you into thinking that you must either ascend to heaven, that you must aspire to great heights in order to get a great revelation, or that you must suffer the depths of a fictitious hell, or work like hell, probably where the phrase came from, this passage, work like hell, in order to find or win Christ. No, because before any of us were born, Jesus Christ came from heaven already, and he suffered the pangs of death already for our sakes. And with his resurrection from the dead, we became to him a new creation. Deliverance is here.